everybody. Welcome to the April edition of In the Now. Slip Mode, your speaker for this evening, along with VR.
Ohio gozaimasu. And now for all our bilingual listeners out there, if I accidentally insulted some member of your family or you in that saying, please I apologize. That was not my intent.
Exactly. And, well, that's us too in the house tonight, actually. We had plans for a lot of people to be here, but those were only plans. But you definitely have me in VR, and I think that we'll be able to bring you a good show tonight, so stay tuned. Doing VR?
Oh, just dandy. I've become such a techno junkie. I just want to lay an IV drip directly into my veins of this techno harmony. It's beautiful.
Yeah, I'm really into techno. And it actually, I don't know, when I'm doing stuff on my computer, reading stuff, messing around with things, it actually helps me to focus and keeps me enthused with what I'm reading. You know, sometimes the stuff I read can be a little boring, and I got this testosterone, in the background, just keeping me going. I really enjoy it.
Yeah, that's why the beats at like 120 beats per minute, that your heart kind of picks up on that and goes, oh yeah, that's where I should be at my ideal cardiovascular level there.
Or your specific heart rate ratio to boring reading ratio.
Okay. That you actually find like a harmonious balance there.
Exactly. All right. Well, on to our first piece today we'll be talking about. Has anyone seen those ads that Microsoft has been putting out that says that they make hackers obsolete with their software?
Why, yes. I just did earlier. It's amazing that you bring that up. How that's coincidental and serendipitous at the same time.
Well, I saw that, and I was thinking, how in the hell, could they how can they make a hacker obsolete? And I was thinking of their current software. I was like, are they coming out with something new? Is there some sort of system? Or
the word obsolete actually means that Microsoft understands that they served a purpose, that they did something that was useful and meaningful in the world, and now making it obsolete. Then, okay, with their new products that. It's so secure, it's so perfect that it innovates on itself. It doesn't need to. It searches out flaws and its own practicalities. That it doesn't need the human intervention.
Well, that is probably a psychological outtake on it, but I think Microsoft was much more different, which was.
I think it was a Freudian slip.
Yeah, actually. And they're making up for all their bad press. The Advertising Standards Authority has ordered that Microsoft's ad implying that its software will bring about the extinction of a hacker be pulled for being unsubstantiated and misleading. An objection was lodged by freelance journalist Richard Clark in his personal capacity, who complained with the advert that the advert was untrue. He claimed Microsoft software is littered with vulnerabilities, which it is, and we've talked about it plenty of times. The advert depicts a dodo, a woolly mammoth, a saber-toothed tiger, and a hacker. The caption claims that not everyone benefits from Microsoft software, and with that, a customer's data couldn't be safer even if it was kept in a safe. It was published in November issues of IT Web Brainstorm and Time magazine. Microsoft was asked by ASA to provide information substantiated by an independent, credible expert on the degree of security of its software in accordance with the Code of Advertising Practices. Microsoft was also asked to defend the advert against Clark's claim that the advertisement was misleading.
So, yeah, when I first saw it, I thought it was going to be one of those Sesame Street things, so one of these things is not like the other, that the hackers and crackers and all those, you know, the people that do that will never go away.
To really get down the technicalities of it is, how could you actually make a hacker obsolete? I mean, there's always a process, a program, a service, something that's always put into play by an operating system, and that thing is new. It changes all the time, and it's impossible to maintain and track all of that code to make sure it's has a 100% degree of security.
The balance between the makers and like Microsoft and the hacker, the people that look for the flaws in it, are actually doing a beneficial thing, because they're eventually going to reach, hopefully, a state where it is practical, it does work, it's secure. It's not just something that's easy for Microsoft to make and pump out, but because as they're trying to make it as easy for them to make a product, and on the other side, that they're trying to, the people are trying to make it a secure product or a functional product, that it'll reach in the middle there. And actually, in the end, in the general, reach a state of homeostasis and evolution.
I think it'll eventually, if you stick with, say, like, an operating system and you add more features to it, and as, features that you've had on there for a long time get older and more tested, by the public, they'll get more feedback as far as what holes are in it and what are not, and they'll be patched over time. But, I don't know. I just the ad is completely, completely off base, and just more crap that we're seeing pumped out by Microsoft.
Say it again, brother.
And then I'm gonna add another small Microsoft story here along with it. It basically says that the European Commission experts have concluded that Microsoft violated UE antitrust rules, but their proposed remedies need defining. Refining to withstand court scrutiny. Sources familiar with the case have said that experts have proposed two major requirements, making Microsoft share more proprietary information with its rivals and uncoupling its media player audiovisual software with the Windows operating system. So it's just,
another case of the same old, same old.
Yep, more news about Microsoft... Yeah. All right. Well, a more exciting story is that Al Gore has now become Apple's board of directors for Apple's company.
Wow, another person who didn't quite make it big.
Yeah, went from president to Apple board of director.
Yeah. What does that say? That I really, really like Apple, but they only have 5% of the market. And then they get a candidate who almost made it to president to be on their board. There's a parallel there if you figure it out.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I like Apple in some ways. They do need to improve as far as opening up their hardware base to a lot more third-party hardware vendors. They need to start using something other than their own processors, because they lack speed compared to processors' speeds nowadays. The operating system, I think, is really good, and I think they really did a good job when they went over to BSD-based operating system. They've got a great user interface, wide application base. Right now they're accommodating a lot of people, and that's a good thing, but the prices are a lot higher because they do use a lot of their own hardware and I guess it's not exactly proprietary, but proprietary in a way to where since they're not making a lot of money off of it and they don't go out and reach for those third-party vendors, maybe for like Intel, AMD, NVIDIA, 3DFX or ATI or, you know, Netgear, or, you know, maybe there are Netgear cards for Macs. But, you know, that would dramatically decrease the price of the operating system.
But see, at the same time, that's a lot of things that, like, Microsoft and Intel and all those other companies have done, is they've made it in a strange hybrid way, proprietary, but also open source at the same time, when Apple is just completely their own thing. Is if you make any software that works on an Apple machine, it's got to be within their strict requirements and regulations. And that's why they're, you know, they don't have all the problems that, like, Microsoft operating systems have that they don't have.
That's very true. That's very true. You don't hear too often about the Macintoshes getting hacked, but you don't hear too many Macintoshes running servers. But
also, you have to do something really, really screwy to it for you have to reboot it.
Yeah. But,
it doesn't just go, oh, it's time. Oh, I'm broken. Oh, time to reboot.
Yeah. I thought it was kind of strange that Al Gore did go to Apple. I figured that he would try to do something more to help his party out. Democrats need a lot of help, and he was one of the big faces, PR people for the Democrats, and now he just seems to have copped out and just went to a job that's going to give him a paycheck more than it would be for a president, and he's going to sit back and say hello to everybody and, you know, give him his big, you know, nice, big, warm Al Gore smile every day, and that's it. I really, I'm not really a Republican or a Democrat because I just kind of choose what I choose. But I think that he could have done a lot more than just back off and just, get a paycheck.
Well, he's probably a little burnt out on the party and saw a lot of the dark side probably on his presidential run. And he'll probably kick back for a while until he gets that itch again.
That itch again?
That
until
itch.
Until he goes and becomes a senator that doesn't do anything and...
Oh, that old familiar political itch that's way down deep, and you know where it is.
Is there products to get rid of that?
I think you have to have it at least scraped off.
Oh, man. All right.
well, this is my mother told me, if antibiotics can't help you and you scraping it can't help you, you don't want it.
Yeah. So far, we talked about Microsoft being a bunch of bad guys, and we've talked about Al Gore taking a paycheck and sitting back and enjoying the martinis. And now we're going to go back to Microsoft again, and we're going to talk about their Service Pack 1 for Windows XP. Microsoft has acknowledged a glitch in its Windows XP Service Pack 1 update that can cause system slowdowns. The company has confirmed that after installation of Service Pack 1, some programs may take as long as 10 times longer to start.
Ow.
The glitch came about because the changes made to Service Pack 1 to Windows XP memory management system, it only affects programs that allocate and reallocate large chunks of memory. Although Microsoft has developed a fix for this problem, it is not yet widely available. Currently, the only way to obtain this is to contact the company's product support services department, as additional testing may need to be carried out. Now, this is an article back from late March, so I'm not sure what is nowadays out there, but that sounds like a hell of a problem.
Yeah, to have a 10 times slowdown on any system, that's absolutely mind-blowing. I can't even really fathom how just a patch could cause that kind of problem. That's even worse than probably the problem it patched.
You know, the problem with some of those patches is actually once you patch the system, you can't unpatch it. Now, some you can. Some of them are so integrated you can't take it out. I had to actually rebuild the whole system from scratch just because Service Pack 2 didn't fix a bug that it was supposed to fix on Windows 2000. And I tried to find how I could remove Service Pack 2. I could not do it, and I actually had to rebuild the machine.
Does it actually go in there and, like, rechange the or reconfigure the kernel?
I don't know as far as that. I mean, I know I know generally a patch will replace DLLs and APIs and all sorts of other files, config files, registry settings, just kind of like updating lots of code. And then those old files, you can actually choose on some of those service packs to back them up. So you can undo the service pack. You know what? Actually, I think that's right. A service pack 2, you can undo it. You just have to choose to archive those files when you do that. I remember, I didn't archive those files, so I wasn't able to uninstall it. So actually, yes, you can uninstall it with this instance. But some things you can uninstall. But, you know, you would think that they would have done some testing, and maybe they have, but I don't know how, they could have missed something like this before releasing that patch.
Now, wouldn't you really like to sometimes uninstall patches on your system, like experiences that you've had, things you wish you wouldn't not have learned? Like, I'd really like to uninstall all the experiences with my last girlfriend. That would make my life a whole lot easier.
Well, you're going to have to test that, because what if you try to uninstall it and you screw it up and your girlfriend is 10 times fatter than what she was?
Oh.
See? No, but this is just more neglect, I think, on Microsoft's behalf, and the patch should be available ASAP, I believe. Other operating systems out there, including Macintosh, which has been a little slow sometimes, or Apple, I mean, have done a much better job. Just a lot more neglect, and it's just more propaganda from the In the Now show to stay away from companies like Microsoft.
Viva In the Now.
Let the propaganda ring.
We should start our own propaganda machine.
No.
Talks about how great we are.
I don't have respect for a lot of propaganda people, because it seems like they just do it for the sake of doing it. Just like they hate everything and they want to just do it because they hate it. And they come up with new stuff all the time. And it's like, whenever a group hates something, they're usually out there with that group. And, I hate them too. And do you hate these things too? Oh, yeah, I hate it all, man. And they don't support anything. We talked about lots of things here that we support. We've talked about,
Well, we really, one of the real things is we talked about solutions on what kinds of things are better and what we can use that makes our lives a little, freer at the same time.
Yeah, we'll report the news on what Microsoft does, and even if they do something good, and I've even said Windows 2000 is a good operating system, in my opinion. But I will, report all the news, and we have made solutions to use other operating systems that are out there. We've given reasons why you could use those other operating systems. We've given reasons why not to use certain operating systems. I'll admit it's only been one operating system we've talked about. It's just the facts. And, it kind of sounds, I feel a little depressed, actually saying, oh, here's yet another, Microsoft story, that we're talking about Microsoft again. But, it's the news, and that's what it is. And, it needs to be said, and right now it's actually creating quite a negative image for them, which is not for bad reason. And, I hope that image continues, actually, because I don't respect those types of practices.
Well, and it gives the alternatives. It makes them look more appealing, more opportunistic.
Yeah. And, if those alternatives ever, do anything that I don't agree with, too, I'll say that I don't agree with it. But basically, I haven't held Microsoft to any unbelievable level of standing, like that, they need to follow this, yada yada. Not anything that somebody else has already proven that they can do as well with, less capital and less employees. So,
yeah, that's what's really cool about free, open source is it's really this neat. It's
hegemony.
Yeah, because it's evolution at its finest. That you have it's really technology. It is the study of process. That you have how many thousands of minds working on making something better independently. And then they see a little bit of what somebody else did, and that gives them a new idea. It really puts some weight at the cornucopian idea of, human society. That the more people that we have, the more minds we have working on something that can solve all our problems eventually.
And it is, You know, it is the strongest, the fittest will survive, actually, as well. I mean,
because the best solution to the problem will propagate itself more, and that's what really fitness in Darwinian, in Darwinism, means, is the thing that has the most offspring. That's all it is, because it could actually live for 2 seconds, have 50 offspring, that then they all have 50 offspring, but they all live for 5 seconds. Well, it could overpopulate the world really quickly.
Yeah, it could. And it's not just the fact that, there's alternative operating systems. There's actually alternative versions of the alternative operating systems, alternative distributions, alternative software sets, as far as different browsers, different text editors, different graphic manipulating programs, different video programs, different sound programs, different, basic tools, different mixers, different CD burners, different, different everything. And, you can choose whatever the heck you want. And, and that choice is yours. And it's, proven to be pretty good. So, here's something that will take away your choice. Something that I think is more crap is Intel invents overclock deterrent method.
Ooh, let's slow our processors down.
Let's slow it down.
You're a bunch of old farts here in the old computer of boom.
Okay, we have terrible impressions, but...
but we're having fun.
Chip giant Intel appears to have invented a cunning method after detecting overclocking on a microprocessor. They can then prevent such overclocking by reducing the clock rate on a microprocessor. It claims to detect and deter overclocking of a signal from microprocessors, which includes a detection circuit and a prevention circuit, which limits or reduces the performance of the processor when the circuit detects an overclock signal. There were over 30 different features implemented with this new system, and I don't understand why they would do it.
Well, does overclocking harm the processor in any way?
But you bought it. So if you harm your own processor, you're assed out, and you got to go buy another one. All right, here's what to do. This is what I read in the article, that they think, I don't really understand it, but they think that, or maybe it's been done, and I don't know, that resellers can take their processor, overclock it, find a way to nicely cool it, sell it for more.
Ooh. In that case, all right, that's not that bad. But then why not just have the consumer on the consumer end?
Just say, I don't want to buy that.
Or be able to pull it off.
See, I think it's because they say, they buy a 2 gigahertz processor, overclock it to 2.4 gigahertz, sell it as a 2.4 gigahertz processor, yet it's a 2 gigahertz processor. You know what? Who cares? Who cares if the reseller bought it? Okay, they paid Intel their money for the processor. They paid what it's worth. Now they overclock it themselves. They added a new feature to the system. They sell it. Who cares if they get more money? And on top of it, if the processor fails, then you will learn not to buy from that person because they don't know what they're doing as far as overclocking.
But see, how do you know that they overclocked it or not?
Well, most people aren't going to know. I mean, unless
that only 200 megahertz is the, fastest it's going to be, is the top of the line now. And you get a 2.4, and well, how did I get this thing that's faster than what's stated the technology right now?
Well, I mean, you can still do it if because they sell older processors that aren't, they sell a level of processors, and you could buy a 2.4 when there's actually a 3 gig out or 3.5 gig out, But I don't really see what's the problem with it, It's just the people are going to go to an AMD because they're going to say, forget you guys, I can overclock my AMD. They're cheaper to begin with. I can buy it. I can overclock it. You can overclock an AMD far much more than you can an Intel processor anyways. They already run pretty hot, so you better be really careful about making sure it's properly cooled. But I don't get it. They put that, Intel's got some stuff in behind their sleeves. Just because they sell processors doesn't mean that they can't do dirty, nasty things too, like they have that... processor ID number that's in the processor, which I think is a bunch of CRISAP. you know, those kinds of things will tie into, you know, new Microsoft operating systems that support, you know, digital copyrights, digital content management, you know, imposing a system of laws and rules onto your system to control you where you're at, taking a little bit more of your freedom away. I mean, you know, that's the computer is and the internet is something that's it can be anything you want it to be. You know, I mean, you can do with it what you want it to do. I mean, you know, from, you know, your kids playing video games on it to, you know, writing your own encryption or whatever. You know, you can do whatever you want. And if, you know, you have these things that are on there saying that you can't do this, you can't do that, for, you know, piddly stupid reasons. Because somebody said so. Yeah,
it limits the extreme, you know, vastness of the possibilities that it can be.
Yeah, and it only benefits, you know, people outside your home. You know, it doesn't benefit you. So I don't. I say screw them, and I'm not going to buy their product. So
good for you.
I'm
so proud that you made that choice. That you exercised your freedom of choice in this capitalist system and not going to buy into it.
Yeah.
Or sell out, for that matter.
No.
Good for you.
No. All right. Well, we all know that the war is going on. And definitely hope that, you know, things that are going on, I hope things are happening for a positive reason. And I hope there is a positive outcome. You know, in the computer community, some things have been happening because of the war, and probably will continue to happen more in the future. And it's been talked about at places like DEF CON and H2K2 and H2K even, hacktivism. And hacktivism is activism using hacking. Some people may not call the facers of websites hackers, because it is a low-end sort of hack. It can be a low-tech hack as well. It can be a script kiddie attack. What people have been doing is defacing hundreds of websites of the United States, the United Kingdom. We'll talk about other websites that have been defaced. There's been reports of 800 defacements, and this article says today, which was March 21st. Which was 10 times more than a week ago from March 21st, which tells me that groups are increasingly turning to the internet to protest. Some of the hack pages basically have ranged from words that support the American and British troops to anger over military campaign. Victims vary from U.S. Navy websites to home pages for U.K. industrial products. According to the pictures captured on F-Secure's website, the Rudico homepage carried a photo of protesters burning an American flag. Underneath the image, a message read, "Oh yeah, baby, your site has been defaced."
Wow. And what was that protesting or wanting to... symbolize?
I don't know. Some stupid idiots. I mean, if you're gonna do hacktivism, at least put a message. You know.
And then also, but also at the same time, you're defiling somebody else's expression. It doesn't do anybody any good to talk over, you know, or to essentially shut somebody else down to put your message up. That doesn't make you look good.
I think if it's done really well, it may, but in this certain one here is just crap.
Well,
I
mean, the one that they like rerouted to.
Oh, we'll talk about that next.
Okay. See, now that
was a good one.
That's good.
Now hold on. We did just say that we did not like the American burning flag one, but we did like the one that supported America.
Well, see,
one had a message. This one says, "Oh yeah, baby, your side has been defaced." You know, with leetspeak, which is, you know, uppercase and lowercase letters and.
Well, see, it's just about defacement. It's not actually about a protest or
yeah.
You know,
I mean, why are they burning the American flag?
Is
because they buy our CDs, or why are they burning it? You know, if they want, they need to put a little message in. You know, like the little pun I kind of threw in there.
Yeah.
But you know, they should put a message.
You know, what was the meaning that they were trying to create there? Was it just, oh, I defaced your site, great, and then I'm going to throw some political hacktivism in there too?
Yeah.
And try to justify their own hacking and wanting to be a vandal.
Here's the site, www.cborns.com, was also hit by war protesters quoting the Quran. It also issued the ominous warning, it is the new era of cyber war, we promised. I didn't hear any era of cyber war promise, but that's what they said. Groups with strong political bent increasingly have been using website defacement and crude hacking techniques as methods of protest. This is the work of individual groups. We haven't seen any signs of state-sponsored network intrusions.
That would be rather difficult as well. And, you know, it brings to mind that would probably be one of the most effective ways of terrorism on us, because we are so technologically dependent that if you can get in, like, start taking out those sorts of things, yeah, it would probably do, you know, it would slow down our system immensely, which then would, you know, hurt our economy, and then, you know, hurts every single one of us,
you know,
down
but
the road.
But
yeah. Uh-huh.
I don't want to talk over you. So
thank you.
I didn't know when you were stopping.
So okay, I'll tell you when I'm done.
All right, keep going, bitch.
Thank you. But we know who's bitch later.
All right.
Yeah, but it's so difficult to actually make that as a useful tactic that, you know, our enemies or whoever wants to do terrorism on us in that method, because we do it so much ourselves.
Well, what I was going to say is that, you know, defacing...
I didn't say I was done yet.
Well, you're going to have to stop now.
All right.
What I was basically going to say is that the defacement is really actually... The message, if it is a really good message, and depending on what site that they pick, it can be a pretty good thing as far as getting that message across. But if it's... in generally, you know, a defacement takes 2 seconds to fix and, you know, another 2 seconds to close it out. You can shut down the web server. You could put it on a different web server. You could look for the patches or make sure you're completely patched. You know, it's more of a nuisance, the stupid attacks, than anything else. And web servers typically, you know, don't host if you're have an IQ of at least 50 or more. Typically, don't host any other information other than the website stuff. Maybe a user account. You know, whatever information, SQL database, backend type of information that site may hold. But they shouldn't be hosting, you know, financial figures. You know, and most sites don't, unless it's like, an e-commerce sort of site. So I don't see that crippling too much. You know, I could see planes flying into buildings. I'm not done.
I can't cut in now.
Okay, let's get back to the show.
All right, thank you.
Buildings flying into
about time to get off this rant,
which I'm not continuing. So
okay,
all right. I think what's worse is buildings, having planes flying into them than websites being defaced. So yeah.
Yeah, I had something to say, but that was so long that I forgot.
Oh, sorry. We should both play by the same rules then.
Sounds good.
All right. Email-based worms and viruses have also been used. One email worm dubbed Granda A surfaced this week in Europe, purporting to show screensavers of U.S. spy satellite pictures of Iraq or animations that have either patriotic or mock for President Bush. So that's another method that's being used other than defacements, is actually internet worms.
That's pretty nifty.
So people are pulling out all stops and trying to get their message across. Anyways, we've seen protesters in the streets doing their messages as well. One site that was hacked, was Al Jazeera's website. That's the website that hosts a lot of Arabic world news. Sometimes they've been kind of biased, which our country has been as well. But I've seen some pretty ridiculous things on their website. Hackers wreaked electronic havoc Thursday, which is March 27th, on internet sites operated by Arab television network Al Jazeera, diverting web surfers to pornography, into a page with the U.S. flag, and the message is "Let Freedom Ring," which that was a really good message. Hackers impersonating an Al Jazeera employee tricked one of the internet's most popular web addressing companies, Network Solutions Incorporated, into making technical changes that effectively turned over temporary control of the network's Arabic and English websites.
Now, do you think that that really was that hard?
No.
They were probably like, actually, you could almost call up Network Solutions and go, you know what, I'm not going to tell anybody, but I really want you to change, you know, some things so I can take control of this website and redirect traffic somewhere else. You know, we are at war with this, you know, with this country. Can we do that? And they're probably like, shh, don't tell anybody, but I'll do it for you. It's no problem.
You know, that might have been, you know, a part of it, or may not have been, because they didn't want to save, you know, the one that not have that sort of slip up, you know, used against them, which I know that would be pretty bad. So if it was a decision made, I'm sure it was a senior decision. I'm sure it was somebody else. I'm sure a lot of those guys are politically correct in knowing what's going on with their company, what to do and what not to do. I think that it was probably a guy that tricked these people into giving them access.
Yeah, but I don't see it would be an official thing. It would just be like, hey, bud, you know, you believe in this, I believe in this, you know, just let me go. Come on. We can do it.
The hackers call themselves the Cyber Freedom, Freedom Cyber Force Militia, initially redirected internet traffic destined for Al Jazeera's website in English to a different web page on computers operated by Network Communications, or Connections Incorporated, an internet provider in Salt Lake City, and that site was shut down hours later. The page included the message, God bless our troops, signed by a self-described... damn printer, cut that part off. But it was signed by the person that did it, and there was no response to an email sent to the address on a web page. I guess there was an address on that page. I actually thought that was a really good idea. And I'm surprised, and I've just been so busy, I'm surprised I haven't, like, tried to think of some scheme to... you know, do something, you know, I think it's mostly more exciting to do it. The message is a bonus if you can put it up, but I think it's more exciting if you can pull off your task.
Yeah, and I think there's a little bit of, like, you know, that... Especially... You're, you know, our troops are over there utilizing, you know, their training and what they know how to do against the regime there. And... You know, it could be that you want to use your own skills and what you've tooled up to do in order to help them succeed a little easier or get the message across. I'm not condoning or anything like that.
Plus, with in a situation like this, I'm just wondering if you were busted for doing that,
would it be a war crime?
Or would they let you go?
I don't know. I think it would really. It really matter on first who wins, and then if there is a tribunal about information war crimes.
No, I'm saying, like, would the government really get mad at somebody that defaced, not defaced, but pointed Al Jazeera's name service to another server with a better, you know, I think they'd be like, all right, guys, you know, like, it's against the law, but, you know, we're not going to bust you for doing something that we would have probably done ourselves.
But yet, that's still against the, you know, that you're treading upon this, you know, freedom of speech and freedom of expression. And so you're still violating somebody else's, you know.
We're violating, you know, Iraq's freedom of speech by trying to take out their TVs. But, I mean, we're also doing it for a reason.
Yeah, we're doing it temporarily. And hopefully the meaning is for their own good, not just our own good. But that's something to think about, too.
Well, I thought it was kick-ass, and I would have done it if I could. And maybe I could. I just didn't try. I didn't think about it. So props to those guys. That was a good message. Far better than a lot of stupid things I've seen. You know, I actually know some people that have defaced some sites. Some people that have defaced a few sites. their message weren't too wasn't too exciting, and they were pretty much low tech attacks. People are doing it, and all right. Well, this is a laptop that I would like to have. I think everybody that listens to the show probably already knows what this laptop is, because it is just the coolest thing. But for those of you who don't know, here you go. It's called the GoBook Max. It's I think the company that makes it is Itronix. It's $4,500. It's waterproof. It's vaporproof. It's shockproof.
So they can even make chemical and biological weapons that can hurt this computer.
No.
It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, it's a laptop. We dropped it each. One of us dropped it. Oh, no. We dropped each one.
The company drops each one from a meter 45 times and sees if it... And
54 times.
54 times? Thank you. And sees if it, you know, checks to see if it broke.
They bake it in the oven. They chill it in the freezer. They vibrate it. Wow.
Ooh, that's fun right there.
And submit it to a shower of hurricane proportions.
I wonder if it could survive a tornado.
You know, I didn't read this and this and it, read that. I didn't read what I heard in this article, but somebody told me it's bulletproof. Somebody.
Oh, that would have to.
You know what? It was my mother. I think it was my mother told me that that on television they took a gun to it, shot it, and it was bulletproof.
Oh, I'm gonna get one of those things and I'm gonna strap it to my chest.
If I'm wrong, please don't flame me and my mother.
Especially if you knew his mom.
The less information we know about my mother on the show, the happier I will be.
I didn't think I would get out of the show without at least making a reference to somebody's mother.
Okay.
I feel much better now.
Or many other personal references to myself that you've slipped over time.
I didn't give out any information about your mother.
The GoBook Max is designed for civilian emergency response teams as well as soldiers in the field. In my hands-on test, it easily survived a few tosses across the floor of a local Starbucks, plus a spill of my third double espresso onto its keyboard.
That's because he was shaking so badly.
Its rubber-gripped handle makes it feel like sports gear rather than fragile electronics. Itronix says the Max is big among FBI bomb squads and NYPD anti-terrorist units. The government buyers the Max comes bundled. For the government buyers, the Max comes bundled with restricted software package contained Cobra or Chemical Biological Response Aid.
That is the software that I just love. Yeah, keep going.
A search engine that can be that can identify some 60,000 chemical agents, plus a few dozen biological threats. Select the symptoms, I cannot read tonight, of victims at a disaster scene, and Cobra will tell you how long before your hazmat suits craps out.
Now, that is probably the most essential feature right there.
Isn't that weird, though? It says victims at a disaster scene. So it doesn't tell you anything about the victims. It just tells you how long you have to survive in your suit.
Well, because the longer you can survive in your suit, the more victims you can help.
But they're already out there non-surviving no matter what you do to help them because they're constantly being attacked by that chemical agent because they're not in the suit.
Well, if they're going to be dead and gone, it's no use you being the skilled, you know, emergency response worker to be also dead, because that's one of the first rules as a firefighter. The three rules is you risk life often to save savable lives and property, risk life seldom for savable property, and risk life never for unsavable life and property.
I'm just saying I don't know why they said the symptoms. Select the symptoms of the victims.
You can tell what chemical or biological agent there is by the symptoms of the victims.
But I guess it's just saying, like, well, since these people are dying around you, figure out what's making them die so you can see how long your suit's going to last.
No, so you can help them for as long as you can before you need to leave the area and get a new suit. So you can go back in.
But you cannot help them because they have no suit. So they're constantly bombarded. I mean, even if you give them some sort of medical attention, what's the use if they're still being bombarded by some chemical agent? There is no use. That's what I'm saying. That's a pretty screwy, negative, nasty sentence, I think. So you can get the hell out of Dodge. real easy with your admin suit. Just tells you how long you got.
Yeah, you have like 12 minutes to pacify all your dying victims and then leave.
You've got 12 minutes to rob them of all their possessions and get out. So, chemical agents, what a terrible thing. For civilians, the Max offers features to rival new Centrino-powered laptops. It's a 700 megahertz CPU. Isn't the fastest. It's built in Cisco Wi-Fi, and heavy-duty antenna are available as factory options. It's got power windows and power steering. No, I'm just kidding.
And ABS.
ABS. It does have dual USB jacks.
Ooh.
And a PCMCIA slot, protected by sturdy latches. They're standard. And Cobra sales reps claim 8 hours of work time with one charge to its heavy-duty battery.
Oh, I just had the greatest idea.
What's
I want to have little disco balls that you plug into your USB ports, and it powers it, and you can like do a little light and sound light show from your USB port.
You have now made yourself a millionaire.
That's what I'm going to do.
You are now a millionaire.
Oh, yeah. That's beautiful. All right, we're going to have to cut that part out of the show so so I can save my intellectual property there.
Or if you build it. Actually, if you build it first, you can say that, hey, its ID's already been out there. I build it first, a millionaire, stop complaining.
All right. Now that's what I'm going to go work
on.
Yeah,
you got to do it real fast.
That's right. I gotta figure out. I gotta run to Radio Shack. I'll see you later. Bye.
So, yeah, you know, Slackware 9.0 is out. Red Hat 9.0 is out. They just came out with 8. I think it's the version race. You know, Netscape, you know, came out with 7. You know, before you know Internet Explorer came out with 7. You know, and. And, you know, Slack comes out with 9, so, and Mandrake's out with 9, I believe, and, or maybe it's 9.1. And Red Hat's got 9 now.
What I'm really curious about is how much does it actually have to change so that they can, like, instead of going, like, you know, if they change, like, one character within the coding, then it's, like, you know, 6.0001. You know, what's the proportion there? Has it got to really revolutionarily change for it to actually get kicked up a whole number?
I think, I mean, there are some big changes when you go from version number. Like, if you, I don't know if you know the system, but if you go, if it's in like a .0 number, like 1.0, 2.0, 3.0, so on, that is a major release. And then when you have like, you know, if you came up with 8 and you come up with 8.1, 2, 3, 4, 5, those are updates to that release. And then, you know, if the next release will be a .0 version, and that's the major release. But I think in this case, it's got to be, it's a version war. You know, it's just some people, I think, maybe actually believe that, well, you know, they got 9.0 and it's got 8.0. They must be better. You know, it's just, to answer your question, what does it take to make a new release? You know, I don't think it actually is. There's some set plan. Maybe it's, you know, I know that they went from using the old.
Maybe we should like make a whole new institution instead, of like the FDA that regulates, you know, food and drug. Let's have a information, you know, thing that sets down those guidelines of actually how much, you know, things have to change in order to put a new designation number on it.
What would be the benefit of that? Just because we're bored and want to come up with a new regulatory system.
You know, my creative little juices are flowing tonight, and it's probably thanks to the good old, pink cow. And I don't want to say the energy drink that I drank earlier.
VR?
Yes, sir.
Are you on E?
Why, no, sir. Am I on the E? No.
Okay. That answered some questions for me.
If that's what we're referring to. No, I'm on no illicit or illegal substances ever.
Okay. All right, so I want you to tell me something that you found within this past month, something that the audience will learn from. It could be anything. Do you want to have a moment to think about it?
No, it's all right. I'll go to the little thing about the commercials on that aspirin, you know, helps to reduce polyps.
Okay.
And I'm just absolutely amazed that they're just figuring this out for a product that's called Aspirin. I don't they're just figuring this out after a century of use, that the product called Aspern is reducing polyps. That's brilliant.
And explain that brilliance to everybody, because, you know, some of your brilliance, it takes a little bit to know you first before you can understand some of the brilliance that you produce, because you are a producer of brilliance. So what you need to
Are you calling me the shiny thing that needs to be polished every once in a while? Or that you have to be able to recognize your own face in the reflection to understand that it actually does reflect something?
Actually, I just think that nobody has no idea what the hell you've meant by what's so good about that.
That's just fine, because I'm just going to leave it at that.
Okay. And submit email to inthenow at... I changed that email. It just submitted to slipmode@quest.net. And if you have any idea what DR was talking about, or if you have any more questions, I'll forward it on to him. Or whatever.
Yeah, just, you know, say that it's about the polyp solution.
I'll tell you my feelings for the month on the computing era is, you know, even though Linux is getting popular and other operating systems like it, I guess I just liked it when it wasn't popular.
Uh-oh. I smell some nonconformist conformist over there.
No. What I mean is that you have more...
I like being a rebel. I like being out on the fringes and riding the fences all day long. Because I'm in slip mode. I slip from one mode to the next. And as long as I'm not with the popular hegemony, I'm okay.
Now let me get to my reasoning.
All
right. Is that, you know, you always have a fear that once something becomes popular, that it's going to become tainted. You know, and there's no, I don't know if there is something, you know, behind Linux that you could say that, you know, that's not popular, that's really, really good. And that's just my fear, is that I just don't like when anything gets into the, you know, the outer hemisphere, because it usually things will happen and... start to suck. I mean, it's just a given. It's just a given that that's how things can be. You know, I don't really see any evidence of that happening right now with Linux per se. But
yeah, because normally when something gets really popular, it has to make concessions, and you know, it can't be, you know, as
it gets regulated.
Right. It doesn't have the integrity that it once had. It didn't have its purity. It's hard. It's edgy.
Yeah, I guess, you know, that happened to me also. Like, okay, EGM, the Electronic Gaming Monthly magazine, all right? Back in the days with, like, Sushi X, who was one of, like, the Game Raiders, and a few of the other guys, and it was during the Super NES period of time, the Genesis, the Nintendo period of time, and these guys knew every stinking thing about the game. Like, they knew everything about the games. They were the best raiders. They had the best reasons for making the decisions about games, and I totally respected what they had to say. And then stuff like Sega's Saturn, 32X, PlayStation, all that other crap started coming out. And, I mean, they have good games, but, you know, from my point of view, I'm like, man, you know, when I started reading EGM, like, it said the Game Raiders, it said, like, you know, their first system, you know, that was part of, like, their profile, right? And their first system was a PlayStation, you know, and they're judging PlayStation. I'm like, well, who are you? Like, where, you know, when did you start? You know, did you start playing games since, like, Commodore 64? What the heck, you know? And I was like, now everybody knows about the word firewall. They may not even know what the hell it does, but they'd be like, you know, can you, I was going to hook up this lady's cable and for her internet. And she said, you know, make sure there's a firewall and all that stuff there. I was like, you don't even know what a firewall is, you know? And it's just all this crap surrounding you, and all these, like, you know, kiddies that come in, they're like, oh, I know Linux, and they act like they're, like, you know, Linux badasses, and I'm like, dude, what are you talking about? You know, it's just, you just get all this crap that starts, like, flooding in, you know, and I don't know, like, Japanime actually is still a good underground thing, I guess you could say, where it's, you know, the people that really watch it are, like, pretty good. It's not in, like, everyone's living room where you hear somebody sit there and talk about, you know, like Evangelion, they say a bunch of stupid crap and they don't even know what the hell they're talking about. Like, that kind of thing just gives me, like, some excitement that you know, that I'm in this kind of more pure world, I guess you could say. And I'm just not for what the hell, you know, I'm just not for all the big things that everyone wants to converge onto and talk about. And and act like they know about things that they don't even know about. Or have a... they think the meaning of a certain thing is something, you know, that really isn't, or they don't know where it started from.
But where it is now is really what it means. Like, yeah, you might definitely know the teleology of it. You might have been there from the beginning. Yeah, and you've seen the evolution. You've been a part of, you know, how it's come and changed. But what's going on right now is really what the meaning of it. Because you can think about it, what it used to be. For everything. For one, something used to be 5 minutes ago is different from what it is now. And so it's kind of hard if you understand what's going on now. And that's when it becomes much more difficult, is because the longer something is around, the more meaning and the more things that have changed and come about around it. And so it's much harder to become as experienced with it, especially when you've been around for a long time, because you have all of this background and history with this, whatever it is. And as somebody who just jumped in and kind of knows what's going on right now, they look like they don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah, it definitely is, you know, it's another thing, because I've used some of the things that has become of what was started and what has become now as, you know, reasons why, hey, this is cool, this is good, this is great that this is here, you know. It's a balance. You know, I guess there's just that worry of, you know, of that commercialization, that dramatization? Dramatization.
There you go.
You know, of something that just, you know, when I could feel, you know, when I could sense who I am as self, and, you know, and part of these things that I'm involved in are part of that self-image, and then I feel that self-image depleting by, you know, all these other people, you know, trying to...
Yeah, because, like, you can have so much of your own, like, self... your self-concept is a part of something else. And then when it becomes commercialized, it just becomes this commodity that's being bought and sold, and people take it on and construct this facade of meaning about who they are and what their self-esteem is about. You know, it devalues you.
Yeah. So then I either don't want to talk about it anymore in front of certain people, or become more biased against those people, which is not always a fun thing. So I think I think what I'm experiencing, a lot of people are experiencing as well. You know, and you don't particularly want to sit there and have a war saying, like, okay, you guys are all stupid. You know, those people there, they don't know what they're talking about. You know, because then typically even when you do that yourself, it still devalues you even more, because now, you know, you're trying to attack somebody else.
Yeah, because now you have a side, so whatever the other side is, you can't be.
Yeah.
And so it limits you even further than before.
So, it's definitely a large balance. And a lot of things you just kind of have to shut out, you know. And some things will just always be. And keep on, you know.
Keep on trucking.
Keep on exploring technology and trying to create useful, innovative things along with it. I see it being done all the time. And
that's right. Now, actually, remember that technology is just the study of process and the purpose of creating meaning in this human world that we all live in.
Well, don't confuse everyone that technology is the only way to create.
Oh, no, it's just another tool.
Yeah.
You know, because we can still make stone tools, even though that's incredibly difficult. How much skill that takes to make, like, the Ottoman tradition of hand tools. Oh, my God, it is meticulous.
Yeah, there's a lot of lost arts that were once there, used all the time. And now I've gone back in the Stone Age.
You know, but what I'm still really proud of is that I can make shoes from spare tires. That might be a useful talent one day.
You know what, VR? I'm going to ask you to write a how-to. You're going to write a how-to. And your how-to is going to be how to make shoes out of spare tires. And I'm going to put it under the how-to section on my site.
All right, when I get around to it.
Yeah. Never. So.
Yeah, because I have no time. If you can make me a small little batch of time, you can go, hey, VR, I'm going to allot you this amount of time to go and write a how-to. And then I can go, well, slip.
Cool, I am your timekeeper.
I appreciate that you've delegated that specimen, that regimen of time to me, but that's not conducive to my schedule. I think we're going to have to reschedule your allotment of time to my schedule.
I'm going to schedule what you're saying to hold off for a moment. I'm going to begin to say, I got all these computers I run here at my house. And maybe you can help me, dear. I have a lot of boxes, and they run. They're running, and they don't really do anything. They run, and I use them to learn about them. But, I am freely, I am willing to freely make these machines do a purpose. A purpose that will benefit others. What purposes could I do? Now, ideas I've come up with, I can make a shell server. Where I give somebody access to a box, and I'd have to figure out how much access and what tools I want to allot them, but that's an option. Now I don't know how well that would be used because most people here in America have their own systems. Now I know that there's people in other countries that may might find it interesting. I don't know. I really want to run more stuff here. I really want to take care of more stuff. I really want to, have something going on here.
Is there a way that you can, because I know, you can do some computing with the Xbox. Is there some way that you can, boost power?
Well, you can.
Or functionality of the Xbox, you can, tone that into your box and be able to do more and be more functional.
Well, I can offer the services of the box. The Xbox, you can just turn into a computer and use it for whatever means. And there are people out there working on making Xbox and other types of systems, into more useful tools other than just a gaming system. But here, you listeners out there, I ask that send me an email at slipmode@quest, Q-W-E-S-T, .net. I do have an email at my own site, but I rarely use it because I just don't want to give it out because I don't really check it, and I don't really want spam bots to get hold of the email somehow. So basically, send me an email, and how can I help you? Do you want me to run something that you could use? I really would enjoy doing that, and I really would enjoy learning about it, maintaining it. And giving those services out to others. I've got plenty of different operating systems here. I run two, Linux boxes. I've got a Solaris box. I got a NetBSD box. If you want to explore NetBSD or have a shell on a Solaris box or, you want to run some sort of distributed, computing software, you name it, you send me an email and, I'll think about it and get it up and running and when we'll do it.
Why don't we get, webcams? Just strap them to our head and have mics and record all that, and then we could just have it sent on in. We could have, slip day where what you do in a regular day. It'd be kind of interesting.
What I do in a regular day?
Well, probably not anymore, because it would just be, feedback from the computer screen it'd be a whole little feedback loop. Of you're looking at what you're looking at and what you're looking at through the monitor.
That's kind of interesting. One good place to talk about stuff like this, because this isn't quite interactive yet. I wish it was. I'm looking at one of our IRC channels that I hang out in. I see a few people talking, a few people that listen to this show, actually. Good place to put some of this info, and I'll probably put some of it myself, is over at the Stank Dog forums, which is www.stankdog.com. And they have a forums there. I'll probably ask that question there. Hey, what would you like me to do? to help you guys out and help myself out. And, you know, on top of it, too, what does a guy that does use computers do in a day? Huh? What do I do? What do I do here? Well, what do? I'm always patching my systems. Patching.
He's like a roofer.
I'm always shingling. I'm always fixing the holes, checking security bulletins. I read about bugs.
Entomologist.
I read this, news about sites. I think of small ways to improve what I do here in my room with all these computers. I think about how to improve the In and Out show. Bring information positive and, news, whether it be positive or non-positive. Try to learn these two other operating systems I've been trying to learn, which is BSD and Solaris. And hunting information down on that, not always easy. When my head gets filled with crap and I'm sick and tired of reading and searching, I play some video games on the computer, and sometimes I...
Does Slip need to go camping again?
Oh, man, camping's good. And you know what? I'm mad because I lost my Motorola radio. Not my ham radio, but my Motorola, the walkabout radio. When I went camping last, I was pretty upset about that because that is such a handy tool. Not just for camping, but even when you go to
the fair.
The fair. Or
concerts.
Anyway, concerts. And were you there with me once when I was using it as my tool?
I don't remember.
What I did one time is I wanted to find out where something was. And so I did some scanning. I scanned. I found somebody talking because there's not that many frequencies. I found somebody talking. I said, hey, guys, I'm going to jump on your channel here for just a second. I got a question. Where is this going to take place? I am at this port, this location. Where is it going to happen? How can I, where is it at? And, they called me back up. They just pressed the button and said, yo, it's here. It's going to be at this time. Great. Thank you very much. I'm going to get off your channel and let you guys talk in peace. So I did that, and it was great. It was great, and I'm pretty upset I lost that thing because it was pretty expensive, about $70. But yeah.
I was thinking about taking on a new project of, one of those build-your-own ham radio kits.
Really? They have that?
Oh, if there is, I want it. But I'm not sure if there actually is one anymore, because everything is, it's probably cheaper and more effective to, more reliable to get one of those little tiny little things now that they have.
Yeah, my ham radio is like $300, and it's pretty good Kenwood 2-meter radio. It was pretty good. So other than playing the games, and after that, I might go have dinner with one of my buddies and, talk about stuff. I always go and, like I said, read the news, not only computer news, but like CNN.com. It can get a little boring being stuffed in here all the time. That is boring. You get kind of bored. You just try to find new projects and keep yourself excited, and that's what I do. And I like to find, what's cool is I like to find cool stuff around town. Places that, I never knew about that were fun to go to. And me and DR, I found lots of places. And
yeah, I still miss Hamburger Mary's. That was good.
Yeah. And we're constantly roaming around trying to find new things when we have the time. And... yeah, it's there. I'm just going to keep doing it.
That's right. Because at least in some way or form or shape or fictitiously, it's meaningful. Which I'm not sure how, but I'll figure it out.
Well, it's definitely better than some alternatives out there going and getting in trouble, and messing around doing stupid stuff, going out and getting drunk every night and wasting your money. And, hey, maybe you guys like getting drunk. Hey, why not?
Hey. Those are some of my favorite things to do.
Whoa, there's some feedback.
Oh, that was interesting.
But you still function, right? I mean, you still go to work. I mean, you're here at the In and Out show, and you're not like those other stragglers that didn't make it.
That's right. I can. I'm a responsible ne'er-do-well.
So.
Because I can, have all my vices and still can be a productive and somewhat responsible member of society. Or at least I pretend to be one rather well. I could actually not go to work and just go to the bars and hang out at titty bars and my favorite little places.
Wow.
Well, I might have left my secret out there, but that's okay.
There's lots of secrets being let out today. All right, well, I think...
God, I never felt so close to either slip before.
As long as you don't get within that boundary that's designated by the law that we had.
Oh, yeah, that... Yeah, the two-foot area that's around me is how far I can hit you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I don't know if you have anything else more interesting to say.
Oh. Oh, now I'm on the spot, and now I'm freaking out. No! Ah! Nope, I'm done.
Oh, you're done. All right.
Yeah, I'm done.
Well, I hope you guys enjoyed the show. We'll be back again. It's usually the first Sunday of every month. I encourage you to send an email in. Send me a story you'd like me to read. Send me something about yourself.
Or tell us we suck. What up? Come on.
Or tell us we suck and how we can improve.
Please.
Because
I really need some new material. Come on. I'm getting old and stale over here.
See, I realize that. I just don't want to point it out and make him look bad in the show.
That's fine.
But, you know, he's better. He's got some good insight onto some of the things we're talking about. So that's why he is here, and why the others like Spike, and...
I thought you had me here because you didn't want to do this alone anymore.
Well, I haven't been doing it alone at all. Yeah, Spike, Captain Ali Balibu, which we're going to change that name real quick. That was his decision, not mine, so I'm not telling him what to do. We were going to have Pestilence tonight, possibly. That was... he was an older person with the show. All right, well, I'm letting things run on. So I am going to sign off and say see you next month.
And remember to think about what color your day has been.
All right, now we're going to have to find something new because you've said that for the past, like, 16 shows.
Is that all?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
We haven't even had 16 shows, I don't think, and that's...
All right. Yeah, see, I need new material. I've created my own little hegemony of what VR is, and I need some new infusion, injection of new life and meaning.
Okay, so we're gonna head out and send all the injection you can to Slip Mode at Quest on that. See you later.